2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 10, would you? Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Our Father, we pray for thy blessing on this service tonight. We need your help. I pray, God, that you'll help me as your servant to preach what you'd have me to preach with boldness, and yet, Lord, at the same time, with compassion. I do pray, God, for what we'll see and what we'll hear, what we'll feel, what we'll experience. And then, Lord, help us to put it into action. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've been dealing with the last several weeks the issue of stewardship. We understand what stewardship is, don't we? Well, that was kind of weak. God owns everything. He has entrusted into our care his affairs, and we ought to handle them faithfully. Let the church say amen. Amen. We are stewards of our time. We are stewards of our talent. We are stewards of our treasure. We're handling it, but God owns it. And we learned a lot about this issue of stewardship and how we should do it effectively and how we should be faithful. Nobody gets a pass on it. And last week we talked about our stewardship of the gospel and how we've all been given the gospel and we should give it to other people, and how when we don't use it to build a God's kingdom, and how we don't make it move, and how when it's not multiplied and traded and exchanged properly, we'll lose our chance to use it. So we learned that last week, and we learned a couple of weeks ago of what to do when you lose your cutting edge, what to do when you're not the steward that you used to be, how to get the proper stewardship back. But tonight, I'd like to challenge you with this subject, as much as we'll get through it tonight, because I draw from this passage of Scripture a very bold, definitive, clear, sure statement in the Word of God. Let me just say this. Whenever a statement is clear in the Word of God, I believe it, and that settles it. By the way, if you don't believe it, it still settles it. But here's a very sure, solid, direct, clear statement in the Word of God. And here it is, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. The last statement is, for if ye do these things, notice what he says, ye shall never fall. I'd like you to say those last words with me. Ye shall never fall. Come on, say it nice and loud.
Ye shall never fall.
All right, these two sections together.
Ye shall never fall.
And these two.
Ye shall never fall.
And everybody together.
Ye shall never fall.
Now let me ask you a question. Why are people falling? For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now there's a very simple deductive reasoning that we get from this statement. If God says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. And if people are falling, it means they're not doing these things. Now tonight, I want to give you a message entitled, How to Be a Steward That Doesn't Fall. Now a few weeks ago, we taught you what to do when you lose it. Tonight we're going to teach you how not to lose it. I'm all for reacting when calamity comes, but I'm more for preventing so it does not come. I'm all for getting a new engine if you have to, but I'm more for getting an oil change so you don't mess up your engine. Because $39.95 sound better than $3,999. Somebody say amen. Too many Christians are trying to replace engines instead of changing oil. Amen. Can I get an amen, Brother Mark? He changes those. He changes those, that oil up there where he works every day. And how many people have ignored that light that said, change that oil. Ignore those things that said, check that engine. Ignore those things that said, it's time for service. And by the time they do get into the shop, they didn't drive there. They got towed there. Now listen, I want to pastor people who are on the move and not falling. Amen. And not spend so much time rehabbing and giving therapy to people who've already fallen. Amen. I understand that the church in many aspects needs to be a hospital. Amen. Sometimes we are a hospital to treat the wounded. But I would submit to you that the biggest section in this hospital should be the maternity ward. And it ought to be that we're giving birth to new Christians and not always, somebody help me preach, repairing old Christians. Hey, I'm all for the church being a hospital, but let's see folks come in here and get born again by the grace of God. How to be a steward that doesn't fall. Take it from somebody that failed. Peter. He messed up. And when God told him before he was going to fall, he was going to fall. And after he fell and got back right to strengthen the brethren. And 2 Peter chapter 1 is Peter strengthening the brethren. Say amen. Amen. Now Peter failed so you don't have to fall. Peter denied so you don't have to deny. Amen. Peter messed up so you don't have to mess up. Peter was barking how good of a Christian he was. But when it came time to prove his Christianity, he failed. We don't want Christian barkers. We want Christian biters. Amen. Ain't no good having a watchdog that barks and doesn't bite. Amen. But I tell you what, you can do a lot with a watchdog that never barks but bites. Amen. When I was training my Rottweiler, the lady told me, she said, now the tendency of Rottweilers is when somebody comes in the house, is not really make a lot of noise. She said that the Rottweiler just kind of slowly prances. You see me now? Just slowly prances up to you. I remember, I guess maybe about a year and a half ago, Daddy has a key to our house and a garage door opener. And when I go to the airport, he would typically pick me up. So he'd come in the house and let me know he's in there. And I guess, I don't remember, a year and a half ago, he came early in the morning to come pick me up. And Rocky was out and about and just laying down over there. And so I was upstairs. Now, you can hear the door because the alarm makes a chime when the door opens. So I knew that Dad had come in the house, and I could hear him talking. And I heard him when he walked in. I didn't hear any barking or hear anything, but I just heard him say, "Hey, Rocky, remember me?" And real chipper. And a few seconds later, he said, "Rocky." Rocky. And then I heard, "Kenny." Rocky was making one of these moves. Now, I don't know about you. If you're going to kill me, just run and do it. But if you're going to take your time, it's like he was just imagining how it was salt and pepper and accent and seasoning all and garlic pepper and onion powder and squeeze a little lemon juice on that man right there. Rocky's probably thinking, I like the thigh and the leg, and there's some dark meat right there. And hey, let me tell you something. We need fewer Christians that'll come to church doing all this barking about how good Christian they are. They'll just get out in the world and just walk it. You don't have to, hey, brag and stand up. I love the Lord and I do this for God. And I'm just, no, just get out there. And when it comes time to lay the bite down, lay it down. How to be a Christian, how to be a steward that doesn't fall. Write this down. Number one, realize your position. Let's have class tonight. Say it together with me. Realize your position. Let's make it personal. Put "my" in there. Realize my position. Say it again. Realize my position. Now, the first step in falling as a steward is not realizing your position. Now, I'm speaking to every Christian tonight, because if you're saved tonight, you don't have a different position than the next person saved. If you're saved, we all have the same position. Now, write it down from the text. Number one, I have a precious faith. Verse number one, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like, that word like has the idea of the same or in common, like precious faith. Now, when I'm speaking to a crowd of ethnic diversity, if you're saved, you may be a crowd of ethnic diversity, but you are at the same time a crowd of spiritual commonality. Do you understand that? You may be from a different physical blood, but if you're saved, you've got the same spiritual blood. Now he says you have a like precious faith. That word precious means it is valuable. It is distinct. It is special. It is one of a kind. Peter says, I'm talking to people whose faith is not in Muhammad, whose faith is not in Buddha, whose faith is not in the Pope, whose faith is not in their parents, whose faith is not whose faith is not in baptism, whose faith is not in good works, whose faith is not in the church, whose faith is not in their genes, but whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to realize that. Now you have precious faith. Write this second thing down. You have a powerful fullness. A powerful fullness. Look here in second. Now when I say fullness, I want you to notice the words here. The Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1, according as his divine power, verse number 3, hath given unto us, say those next two words. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Now, what kind of things? That pertain to what? Life and what? Don't take my word for it. Let the Bible teach you. The power of God, the powerful fullness of God has given to every believer, watch this now, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So watch this now. When I got saved, God supplied me with the heaven-sent, supernatural, incomparable power of God, and that power from God secures in my life all things pertaining to life and godliness. So watch this now. You know what that means? There is nothing godly that you cannot have if you have God's power. That's your position. Amen. That's what, Pastor, how long into my salvation experience do I have that power? The moment you get saved. The moment you get saved. You've got it. You may not be using it, but you've got it. All right, number 3, promising favor. Verse 4, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Thank God for the promises of God. That Paul says, ah, yea and amen. Watch this now. That means if God said it, he will perform it. That means if I'm saved tonight, the moment I got saved, I walked into some exceeding great promises. Listen, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God promised it to you, God will give it to you. And if you're saved tonight, you are not just a child of God, any kind of God. You are the child of a God who keeps his word, who supplies his promises. Thank God he is the quintessential promise keeper. And then a partnering function. That by these ye might be partakers, by these promises he's referring to, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now watch this now. When you were born, you were born with what kind of a nature? Sin. Come on, students. Sin. With a what? Sin nature. You inherit it from whom? Adam. Inherited it from whom? Adam. Okay? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, that is in my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. Nobody's got a good flesh in here. The best of us are not best because of our flesh. We're best because we are dead to the flesh and alive to the spirit. Amen. Amen. You walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill, not feel. You will feel, F-E-E-L, but you don't have to fulfill, F-U-L-F-I-L-L. You don't have, listen, you will be tempted, James chapter 1. Let no man say when he's tempted. Okay? And by the way, temptation and lust are not the same. Temptation, watch this now. Temptation is the enticement. Lust is that lure towards it. Lust is when I give in to that enticement. Being tempted is not sin. Lust is sin. Huh? Amen. You're going to be tempted. Satan tempted Jesus. Okay? So if Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, and James chapter 1 said God cannot be tempted, explain that to me. If God cannot be tempted and Satan tempted Jesus, explain that to me. Obviously, there is a difference between being tempted and being drawn to that temptation. Jesus was tempted, Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. The humanity of Jesus Christ was tempted, but the deity of Jesus Christ cannot be drawn or enticed to sin because God is altogether holy. Now, if you die to self and live through the power of that divine nature, watch this now, you won't be drawn either. But if you live in your flesh, you'll not only be tempted, you will lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. You say, Pastor, I've sinned and I'm not died. Something died. And dead stuff stinks. And when you're sin, when you're in sin, you stink, and other people smell it, and you reek with the odors of sin that are not becoming of a child of God. And it's because you're living in the flesh and not living in the spirit. Now watch this now. Peter is challenging the people of God about their position. Most Christian people neglect to realize what they have in Christ. Now watch this now. This position is where we all start at salvation. Amen. Amen. Tell me the position. Number one. Come on. Number one. Precious faith. Number two. Powerful fullness. Number three. Promising what? Favor. Number four. Partnering function. Now watch this now. You ever heard of businesses that went down, that closed, that went bankrupt, that shut down because one partner who was good found out his other partner was no good? Now let me ask you a question. Is it possible for you and God to sink when he is your senior partner? You can't do it. Now, how did I become a partner with God? I became a partner with God because at the moment I got saved, I became a partaker of his nature. Amen. Now watch this now. God giving me his nature does not mean I lost my sin nature. But it means I inherited a nature that, if lived through, is stronger than my sin nature. Amen. Your flesh didn't get better. Your flesh didn't get gone. Amen. But your flesh can be handled through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It can be conquered through the power of the Spirit of God. It can be defeated through the power of the Spirit of God. It can be controlled through the power of the Spirit of God. It can be silenced. It can be muted. It can be stopped. Amen. Amen. You have that power. Every believer has that power. Now let me give you number two, and then I'll let you go home. Realize your position. Number two, respond with progression. Does everybody know your position? Now, you know I said point number one, those four things. Could I summarize all four of them? Here it is. Saved. You missed it. When you tell people you're saved, bound up in that word is precious faith, powerful fullness, promising favor. Amen. Amen. And a partnering function. Not just sold out Christians, all Christians. Amen. 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 Now, those praying to Mecca five times a day can't claim that. Amen. Amen. Those talking in a tongue to be saved can't claim that. Those who've only been baptized in the water can't claim that. Amen. Those praying to Buddha can't claim that. But those who've been washed in the blood, let the church say amen. Amen. We can claim it. Now, that was all on God. That position I had nothing to do with except putting my faith and trust in Christ. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
You couldn't buy your precious faith. You couldn't perform your way into a powerful fullness. The family you were born in would not give you a promising favor. Amen. And none of your money would give you a partnering function. But when you put your faith and trust in Christ through his grace, by faith, and the none of yourselves, you got it all in one package. Now, the position is on God. But the progression is on you. Say this together. The position is on God. But the progression is on me. Let me say it again. The position is on God, but the progression is on me. Together, the position is on God, but the progression is on me. Now let's use our hands to help us a little bit, all right? Some of you are getting sleepy. I'm noticing it. Okay? Let's say it together. The position is on God, the progression is on me. Say it again. The position is on God, the progression is on me. Now let me demonstrate it. When God saves you, he puts you in a race at the starting line. Oh, I'm only at the starting line. Thank God. If he hadn't saved you, you wouldn't be in the race at all. Somebody say amen. You'd be going to hell. You'd be on a race to hell. All right? So thank God you're in the race. Oh, he put me in a race. I got to work. Hey, listen to me. If he didn't put you in the race, you wouldn't get a chance to work. Amen? So, because the only way you can get in the race is to be as righteous as his son. And the only way to be as righteous as his son is to put your faith and trust in the son. And the righteousness of his son is imputed onto you. Amen.
Amen.
So you're in the race at the starting point. Then after he put you in the race and gave you precious faith, powerful fullness, promising favor, and a partnering function. That means he's working with you.
That's right.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are laborers together with Christ. So he put me on the starting line. That was on him. I couldn't get in unless God put me in. Then he fired the gun, said go. Here's the problem. Some of you still standing there. Now wait a minute now. You know what the problem is? You waiting for the God who by his grace let you in the race to pick you up and run you too. Now, he's not going to run for you and he's not going to carry you. Now, there are times you fall, he carries you. But if you think the Christian life is him just running for you every day, you don't know your Bible. Now, what you say, well, that's kind of mean, God. No, 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 no. Why should I run for you when I saved you and gave you everything to run for yourself? Respond with progression. And beside this, giving all, notice the word, look at the Bible. Giving all. You see that? Come on, keep your place in the Bible. Beside this, giving all what?
Diligence.
Giving all what?
Diligence.
Now, what is diligence? Hard work. Write this down. Passionate activity. Giving all diligence. Pastor, what are we preaching on tonight? How to be a steward that doesn't fall. Here's a good way to be a steward that does fall. Live your life void of passionate activity.
Come on.
Oh, I know. That was a lot of words, a lot of gobbledygook that could have gone over your head and been a little confused. Let me break it down a little more simply. Here's a good way to be a steward that falls. Be lazy. Watch this now. I want to save you years and years and years of Bible study. If you're a lazy Christian, you will fall.
That's right.
I just want to save you the time to have to wonder whether or not you just plan on falling regularly. Lazy people don't make good Christians. The Christian life is wired for hard workers. And those who are anti-work don't make good Christians, because the Christian life is inherently, instinctively a work. It is a work of God coupled with a work of myself. Watch this now. God works based on my working. It is God's work that gives me the energy to work, but God's energy alone without my work will not guarantee me his work. So, here's some Christian people that are on the race line. God put me in the race. Now, I'm determined to be passionate. Take your hands now. Come on, class. I just thought of something. I remember a preacher used to go to youth conference. Stop. We used to go to youth conference. And we used to do a storm inside the building. Some of y'all may remember this. I want you to do what I do, okay? As long as I do, we do a storm inside the building, all right? Just this group. Some of y'all are just too excited. Keep doing it. Now this group. Don't clap. This group join us. This group join us. You hear the wind starting? Stay, these three groups. Keep doing it. 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 Just stop. Now this group. Starting to rain a little bit, Brother Ricky. You still rubbing your hands, Brother Ricky. Starting to rain. Keep going. Now the rain's picking up a little bit more. Hear the rain? Hear that rain coming down? Keep going, keep going. Now your feet. Oh, that thunder's coming now. Yeah. Hear that thunder? Boy, it's pouring down now. And it's raining hard. Come on. Yes. Yes. Listen to that rain. Listen. Boy, it's pouring now. You hear that rain? Yes. Slowing down a little bit. Oh. Yeah, that's slowing down a little bit. Yeah, it's trickling off a little bit. Trickling off. Slowing down. All right, give yourselves a hand. You just did a storm. Now, that had nothing to do with the message, but I remember somebody doing it before. Some of you were getting sleepy, okay? That was just to get you back with us. Welcome back. We're glad to have you. We're preaching on God's work and my work. You understand that? So I have to have some passionate activity. If I'm lazy, I'm going to be a bad Christian. So now that I'm decided, I'm going to work hard. I'm ready. That passionate activity must result in productive addition. Now, look at the verse. This is Bible study. And beside this, giving all diligence. Come on, read your Bible. Come on. Beside this, giving all diligence. Next word.
And.
Stop right there. Say it again.
And.
Say it again.
And.
Say it again. Say it again. All right, one of you English experts. Levette?
No. My sister.
Jamaica?
Yes, absolutely.
Jamaica's a teacher. Jamaica, the word add, What part of speech? Add. Verb. Good. Good. What kind of verb? Action. Right? All right. Here's a real deep one. When you diagram a sentence and it's got a verb must have a, which is called the subject. Good. Good. Is that one of those kids talking out back there? That's you? Did you answer that? Oh, you did, Octavia. Okay. Look at the sentence, Octavia, since you see you got a little going on. The verb is add. Okay? Don't nobody answer. What is the subject of the sentence? Huh? Say. Not your. You. The subject of that sentence is you. Is you in the sentence? Is it in the verse? No. In English, we call it what? Understood you. And when we diagram in parentheses. Because even though it's not in the sentence, by the way, grammatical structure is diagrammed, even though it's not written there, we understand it to be assumed. So if we really read the sentence the way we diagram it, it would read like this. And beside this, giving all diligence, you add. Now let me ask, who did all the work to save you? Who did all the work to save you? Answer me. Say it again. Who did all the work to save you? God, Jesus, let's call it God. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, God. Who did all the work to save you? God. Okay, so who did all the work to save you? Now, who does the work to add?
You.
Say me. Here's why some of you are stewards that keep falling. You're saved and doing no adding. Your spiritual resume reads like this. Saved. I'm finished. And guess what? I don't care how good you are when you come to apply at my job. If you've had 10 years of no work experience, I'm a little leery about hiring you. Because you may be able to work, but if you have not been working for 10 years, you may be able, but you probably just lazy. Now, I'm not putting him on the spot, but Demaine stood up just a moment ago and said, I've been off and on in my Christian life. I start and I stop. Listen, he mirrors a lot of Christian people. You know when he started stopping? When he stopped adding. When your Christianity becomes complacent and stagnant and all you are is saved and not taking the salvation that Jesus gave you and adding something to it, I'm not talking about adding something to it to be saved. I'm talking about adding something to it because you say. You'll fall. You'll fall. Let me demonstrate. Some of the men who know the most Bible have fallen. And that is because they are preaching to people that are adding while they're not adding themselves. And a pastor who knows the Bible but is not adding the principles that he learns from the Bible will fall just like somebody who doesn't know. Somebody say amen. Watch this now. You're leading a ministry, but you're not adding. You're teaching people who have come to church because someone else brought them, but you don't bring nobody. You'll fall eventually. What? Right? Singing in the choir is not enough to keep you a steward. You ought to be a choir member who adds. A deacon who adds. A bus captain who adds. A single adult who adds. The moment I stop adding, and by the way, don't worry about the energy to add. That came with the salvation package. Amen. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you. Energio in the Greek, it means the energy, the energy. It is God which worketh in you. But in the verse before that, work out your own. Different word. This word work out means to bring to its fullest extent. This word worketh means to provide the energy. God gives me the energy for what purpose? To bring my salvation to its fullest extent. That means getting the most out of being saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's time to let you go home. Next Sunday, I'll give you the list of things to add. Watch this now. And I can prove to you from your own testimony, if you'll be transparent, that you fail when you stopped adding. And guess what else we'll learn next week? That whatever's missing in your Christian life is missing because you didn't add it.
Y'all pray for me, because sooner or later I'm going to be a better Christian that tell the truth.
Add honesty. You're still lying because you haven't added truthfulness to your Christian life. And God gave you the power to life and godliness. And truthfulness is godly. So if truthfulness is godly, then salvation gives you the power to add truthfulness. And if salvation gave you the power to add truthfulness and you haven't added truthfulness, it's because you haven't added truthfulness. And if you have the power to do it, and you have the responsibility to add it, and you're not doing it, then not having it is your fault. So don't blame anybody in this church for why you're not a better Christian. Blame yourself. Because God saved you and gave you enough power to add everything he wants in your life. But just because he gave you the power to add it doesn't mean he's going to add it for you. And Christians who stop adding are Christians who keep falling. Amen. And so, and by the way, some of you have about a well-predicted, estimated time in your Christian life for how long you're going to do well before you mess up again. It is so predictable because you have given such a replicable track record. And for some of you, it's dangerous because it's right about time on schedule for you to fall again. And making another decision and filling out another commitment card and crying one more time on the altar and telling everybody you're serious this time does not keep you from falling if you are not committed to a life of adding. And so if you want to be a steward that 5 years from now is still a steward, come back next week with your sleeve rolled up, with your work boots on, with your thinking cap on, with your diligence ready, and say, if I want to stay in this race for God, I'm going to be an adding Christian.
Amen.
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 Because if you're not an adding Christian, you're a losing Christian. Our Father, we thank you for your blessed word.